chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also, or shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever get down? Read Romans 8. Wow. What a promise. What a life. What an opportunity we have as human beings to live a life with no condemnation, to be led by the Spirit, to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. That should pick up anybody's spirit. Our focus verse this morning, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Our focus thought is living in the Spirit brings a relationship with God and freedom from guilt. Freedom from guilt. But are you living with guilt this morning? Don't raise your hand. Even when it goes away, it comes back the next day and just wants to show up on your doorstep. Guilt seems to always be lurking in the cracks and crevices, the creepy things. We had an amazing men's retreat out of the campground. Well, it was men's retreat plus kitchen staff, but it was the men's retreat. And anything that the men needed to say, we needed to whisper. But other than that, everything was really good. Delete that from the tape there. It was a wonderful time. Brother Libby did an amazing job grasping grace, understanding what grace really was, divine influence in our life. Amazing, amazing stuff. And the things that we needed to watch out for, the creepy things creeping into our life and setting up residence and the dangers there. And just an absolute wonderful time. And then the fellowship and the strengthening of yourself with fellow brethren. Amen. It was just an absolute wonderful time. this living in the Spirit and living free from guilt is such an awesome thing. I was asked, and this is a question they ask everybody in the interview when you get your job in the oil field, is what keeps you awake at night? They wanted to know from everybody, you know, what's your greatest fear? Is it the fact that you have 80 million cubic feet of gas surrounding you as you sleep in pipes? You know, what's your greatest, is it the fact that you're, 100 feet off of the water with open grating and you can see everything underneath you? Is that a fear? How about long flights of stairs with just a little handrail at the bottom, and if you slip, you tumble down the stairs and over the handrail? Is that a fear that you go to bed with at night? Messing up, closing the wrong valve, causing problems, opening the wrong valve, causing environmental disasters. You know, those kind of things. What keeps you up at night? And, you know, things that maybe you weren't honest about, or the guilt in your life. Guilt keeps a lot of people up at night. Guilt removes your peace and your joy, and it doesn't allow you to sleep. And my answer was simple. I said, I don't worry about anything. I said, I go to bed, I have peace in my life. I said, there are things that may have gone on in the day that may bother me to some degree, but I don't live or I don't sleep at night based on how well my flesh did that day, or how well everything went or didn't go that day. I go to bed guilt-free because of who I serve. And because of Him, I can go to bed at night. Because of His grace and His mercy in my life, I can go to bed at night living guilt-free. And I can go to bed knowing that everything is under control and He has everything in the palm of His hand and everything's going to be all right, and me worrying about it is not going to change it. So I might as well get my beauty rest. I need it. Wasn't expecting any amens on that, but hallelujah. Got them anyway. So, awesome. All right. Now, Paul wrote of the struggle within his own flesh in Romans 7. And if you want to be completely confused, read that in the King James. Okay. And he summed it up with the solution to the struggle in Romans 8. When he concluded, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," this is a bunch of excerpts from what we just read, "but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, ... For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So that is the end result, or what Paul found to be the solution to Romans 7. Romans 8 is the solution to Romans 7. Unfortunately, in our society, we have access to absolutely everything. Good and bad, and the majority of what we have access to is ungodly. The majority. If you walk through Walmart and just watch their flat screen TVs on the wall, it's not even TV. It's just advertisements. Some of it you can't watch. It's just advertisements for everything under the sun, all kinds of stuff that's on there. And it's just trying to promote how clear the and the quality of their flat screens. That's all it's trying to do. But some of it's inappropriate. Stuff that I wouldn't set before my eyes. But it's there right in front of you. When you go through the check stand, the magazines, some of them are getting, I don't know, want to call it, say it's smart enough, but they're realizing that not everything that they have, probably because of regulations, because of parent groups and whatnot, that are putting covers over their magazines so that they're not so in the face of the children because they're right at kids' heights, right? And so you got to walk through the check stand like this, grab your Chiclets and head to the counter. The internet. If you have free email, which most of us have, because it's free, there's advertisement bars all over the place. I've got on Hotmail, there's advertisements down the right-hand side. I need to just tape a piece of black paper down that side of the screen when I check my email. Because it's junk. It's trash. It's immoral. It's half-dressed. It's stuff that I shouldn't be putting in front of my eyes. It's so available and so integrated in absolutely everything we do. We need more than just this flesh to get by in this world. Amen? It's on the billboards. It's definitely on the internet. It's on every television. It's in the magazines. It's everywhere we look. It's not just visual, but it's on the radio. What they're talking about isn't always godly. Well, I was just listening to the news. Well, not everything you hear on talk radio is godly. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you don't listen to talk radio. I'm not telling you not to buy a magazine every once in a while. Guard your mind. Guard your eyes. Because it's out there and it's just laying in wait. Laying in wait. For you to take a gander. Well, I just need to check this. I bought this magazine for the article. And I know that the cover is inappropriate. And I know that this is inappropriate. But they had a really good recipe on cinnamon rolls. And I know that recipe was all the way on page 143. And I had to read to get to that section. But, you know, it was worth getting through the garbage to get that one recipe. So be mindful. It's out there to trap us. It is. And so we must be mindful of that. And we cannot do this on our own. There is no way in our flesh we're going to be able to overcome all of the attacks that are out there, all of the options that are out there. There's no way that we can do that on our own through the flesh. We need something greater than ourselves to overcome and to be victorious in this area of our lives. Amen? Amen. All of these things can lead a person into fleshly perversions and addictions. What can protect the believer from all of this ungodliness on every hand? Only the active work of the Holy Spirit. Only the active work, not the one-time event, but the active, ongoing, continual work of the Holy Spirit in your life can gently guide, it can prompt, it can persuade a believer to close his eyes, turn his head, or walk away, or flee from temptation. This occurs when the Holy Ghost lives within a person and that individual lives in the Spirit. Lives in the Spirit. That's what we're talking about today, just in case you were wondering. Living in the Spirit. The flesh, if we were to allow our flesh to just run rampant? Would we end up good or not so good? If we allow our flesh free rein, it will sell us into bondage. It will bring condemnation into our lives. No matter how much fun you may have at that party, and all of the pictures of all of the fun things that you did at this wonderful party, and you got home at 3 or 4 in the morning, or you staggered in the door, and you fall asleep. You wake up the next day. You might remember some. Most of it, you'd probably have to go back and look at the pictures. Say, I was on the table? I don't remember that. You know, that kind of thing. All that does is bring guilt and condemnation. And the only way to get rid of the guilt and condemnation to the flesh is to go out and do it again. Forget about it again. And do it again. Forget about it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Endless cycle. Building condemnation upon condemnation upon condemnation upon guilt upon condemnation. That's not what God wants for us. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, His Spirit, gives us liberty. It frees us from guilt associated with sin and brings us into harmony with God. Hallelujah. How many want to be in harmony with God? God, I want to be lined up with You. I want to be right with You, God. The letter of Moses' law. The law was not a bad thing. The law was not a bad thing. It pointed out all of our flaws, all of our sins. It pointed everything out. Now, how many threw all of that in their Bible reading this year? There's a lot of things that the law pointed out. And all of that was good because it was leading to something. I thank the Lord that He didn't stop at the law. You know, there's something more than that. But the law only pointed out. It pointed out all of our sin problems. That's it. It gave no solution other than rolling it up. And could you imagine the size of that snowball when Jesus finally died on the cross? Just kept rolling it back, rolling it back, rolling it back, rolling it back. Wow. All of that sin He took on for you and I. Wow. So all that the law did was point it out. After receiving the Holy Ghost, Paul realized the difference in his life. And he said, now, in Romans 8:1, now, there is therefore now, no condemnation. Thank the Lord that we can all come to the point where we can say that of ourselves in our lives. There is therefore now no condemnation. Yesterday I lived in sin, but today there is no condemnation. Before I knew God, there was condemnation, guilt, sin in my life. But now there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul found that out, found it to be true. Hallelujah. So thankful that he penned that for you and I. Hallelujah. Under the direction of God. I thank the Lord that it's there, that we can understand the concept of no condemnation in our life. Hallelujah. Now. The law produced an ever-increasing burden of condemnation without the benefit of forgiveness or liberty from sin. The Spirit-filled life removes the constant burden of condemnation and gives the believer the power to walk in grace by faith. Transparency one. So the law, anybody read that on the left? The law identified sin but could not free mankind from the power of sin. I don't even know if you're supposed to read that up, down, or left, left to right, or right to left. Is it right to left? But it's straight up and down. Okay. All right, we're good. Moving on. So, the law identified sin, but it did not give us power over sin. Through the incarnation, God manifested himself in the flesh and became sin for us. God took care of it. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took care of our sin problem. Amen. Through obedience to the gospel of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, we can receive that same spirit. Through the Spirit, we can please God by faith. Did you know that? We can't do it without him. We are not capable in our flesh of pleasing God. It's not possible. But when we have his Spirit, we can please God by faith. Living the Spirit-filled life frees us from sin's condemnations. It's dominance in our life, the bondage. You ever talk to somebody about God and they're just bound? They're bound by addictions. They're bound by problems. They're bound in their situations. They don't know where to turn, what to do. This is the hand that was dealt to me, and I'm just trying to get through life. Bound. Living the Spirit-filled life frees us from the dominance of sin in our life. It no longer controls every aspect of our life. And it also frees us from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. Now through Christ's righteousness, we can live a life that pleases God. And we know in Romans 3:10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all born into sin. All of us started at the same starting point. Hallelujah. And I wish that we all could end at the same ending point. But the sad truth is, not everybody will accept this truth. And I'm sure God would love if all of his creation would turn to him. One day they will. Every knee is going to bow. But we are all born into sin. And so being right with God is beyond our reach, apart from Jesus Christ. Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Even with the law, mankind is lost without Jesus Christ. God had not promised that the law would bring victory over sin. Instead, he promised a Savior and the gift of his Spirit. Thank the Lord that he didn't just leave it at the law, but promised a Savior. Hallelujah. The Jews attempted to gain righteousness by observing the moral code of the law. Paul showed a better way to obtain the righteousness of God without the law, faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. I know a lot of good people, and I'm sure that you know some good people. And we try in our humanity to justify maybe when they die. Well, God knows. I'm not going to judge. And we can't. We can't. But we also know the truth. We also know what God wants and what is required in salvation in order to make heaven our home. But there are good people out there that live with a high moral code, good standards. They're givers. They donate a lot of time and energy to charities and seeing the needs of people around them and have raised good children and their family. Everything seems to be just perfect. But it's not. It can't be without the Spirit of God. No matter how good they are, their righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Neither earned nor deserved, this righteousness comes by grace through the redemption made possible by Jesus Christ. He imputes his righteousness to us. To us. Undeserving. We didn't earn it. But he imputes his righteousness to us. Amen. The old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One of the verses says, nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing the chorus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only by his blood today are our sins washed away. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So without God, we are lost. Without God, we have no hope for the future. We have no hope for the future. Hallelujah. I think that's me. Uh-oh. That's why I bought a bouncy case. Hallelujah. We have no hope without God. Hallelujah. The good news is that Jesus Christ did not come to condemn mankind, but to save him from sin. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He could have very easily come down and squished us all like bugs. But he loves you and I. Hallelujah. He loved us. Before we even knew anything about him, he loved us. Hallelujah. The man in conflict, that would be all of you and I, this world, the man in conflict. The law was beneficial, but it left mankind in a quandary. Gave him knowledge of sin and revealed his moral deficiencies, but it did not empower him to rise above them. Only Christ's Spirit can enable us to live in agreement with God's Word. Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Hallelujah. Without the Spirit of Christ's empowerment to conform the will, conform to the will of God, people often surrender to the overwhelming influence of the sinful nature. It's only natural. It's only natural. As our normal operating range. Sin. Although a person may want to be better, he has no power to overcome the inherent tendencies towards sin. And this is the struggle that Paul is talking about in Romans 7. The inward struggle. One of the wonderful benefits of living the Spirit-filled life is the power to walk in obedience to God's will. A lot of people may want to do right but can't. That's what Paul was talking about. I want to do right, but I can't do right. Every time I try to do right, I don't do right. And it just keeps going on, and it keeps getting more of a tongue twister. But that's, I want to do it, but I can't. Even the stuff that I do, I don't want to do, but I do it anyway, even though I try not to do it. Right? That's the battle within us. That's the inward struggle. Spirit-filled people must realize that they still live in conflict with the flesh. Did you know that in order to have victory, there has to be a battle, a conflict of some kind? And we all talk about wanting to live in victory. Don't we? Yeah, we forget about the process to have victory. I want to be on the mountaintop. Well, you didn't just plop down there with a helicopter and sit on top. You climbed that mountain to get to the victory, right? And so don't forget about the fact that there is conflict within your body and you want to have victory in your life. You better understand that. And you can have victory today. Amen? Spirit-filled, God-guided victory in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't think that just because you're Spirit-filled that this flesh all of a sudden becomes holy. The only way this flesh is going to get holy is if you get shot and maybe have a bullet hole or something like that. That's the only kind of holy this flesh is ever going to get, right? Okay? This flesh is not getting holy. So, there will be conflict. Inward struggles. Inward struggles. What we feed our minds determines our behavior. Each of us make daily choices as to what we feed our mind and our spirit. This, in turn, becomes the dominant force that directs our life. You know that? You are what you eat, right? When, see a few cheeseburgers in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Maybe a few chickens and rices as well. Hallelujah. Oh, wait, he's not here this morning. Hallelujah. where do we go? When we choose to pray, it's a choice. When we choose to fast, read the Bible, attend church regularly, listen to wholesome music, the fellowship with godly people, these influences shape and direct the course of our lives and help us to become stronger Christians. Because of our men's retreat, I am a stronger Christian. Right? Could have chose to not fellowship. Could have chose not to be out there. Made a choice to be there, to go, and to be blessed with the fellowship and the word. Amen? It has made me stronger. It's helping direct and drive my life. Right? Choices we make. Living a Spirit-filled life is not a struggle. when we surround ourselves with the right influences. I believe there are some people in the house today that have learned this and are living this today. This requires us to make good choices daily, moment by moment sometimes, but good choices every single day. We should wisely and carefully choose the people we hang around. Amen. Don't be looking around the building this morning. Hallelujah. We need to carefully and wisely choose people, pastimes, interests, hobbies, and forms of recreation and entertainment that encourage and inspire us to be strong spiritually. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What you feed will be the dominant force in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the church family. We went, Summit? We did that. It was a snow machine trip. But it was other than the fact that I left my keys back at the house for the snow machines, it was a great day of encouragement. And even that time, my wife and I had 2 hours of nothing but staring at each other in the road. So we had a lot of time to just think and talk, and it was good. We even enjoyed the trip back to the house and back. But I mean, things like that uplift us and help us continue on our way with the strength of our family and the spiritual influence of our family. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't, when there's an opportunity to get together, amen, whether it's a share meeting, share group, or prayer meeting, or a business meeting for all I care, it doesn't matter, whatever it may be. If you're getting together with people that are going to uplift you and encourage you and strengthen you in God, get there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Spiritual immaturity. How did I transition into that? As babes, known as babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3. 1-4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So some time has passed here, and they're still not able to handle the meat. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, he's talking to church people here, envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Question mark, question mark, question mark. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Carnal church people. Who would have ever thunk it? Carnal church people. Unbelievable. Wow. Spiritual immaturity. How long have you been in this thing? How long can you stay as a baby? How long can a baby live off of just milk? Transparency too. There's parallels between spiritual immaturity and carnality. Paul drew a parallel between spiritual immaturity and carnality. Spiritual immaturity. Stunted growth. Or carnality, envy and strife. Isn't that wonderful to have in the church? Envy and strife. Let's see if I can say this one. Egocentrism. Why didn't you just say self-centered? Oh, because there was another self-will. Okay. All right. Egocentrism. Or criticism. Criticism. You ever been criticized in the church by your own church family? Well, the decoration for that lady's thing was horrible. Okay. Self-willed. I'm looking this way, so I'm not looking out that way. Self-willed. And disunity in the carnality and ruled by the flesh. Ruled by the flesh. If you're ruled by the flesh, can you be ruled by the Spirit? We only have one master, right? Yeah. Spiritually immature, ruled by the flesh. Or corrupt appetites. Corrupt appetites. You're desiring things that you don't need, you shouldn't have, and you know better. Corrupt appetites. Things that you're desiring. Appetite. I just got to have a sopapilla at Froso's every once in a while. Just every once in a while, I just got to have one. And yes, it's probably a corrupt appetite, because it's not, nothing in that is good for you in any way. Well, there's flour, which is a grain, and honey is natural, and chocolate's kind of natural, and sugar is made from natural ingredients. yeah. But is it good for me? Yes, because it lifts my spirit. In moderation. Yes. Spiritual immaturity. There are many who come to church and don't ever grow. And that's probably not proper English, but they don't ever grow. Constant babies, constant immaturity. Struggle with the same struggles over and over and over and over and over and never get beyond, never learn how to live in the Spirit. Never know how to let the Spirit lead them and guide them and guard them. We have to grow. We have to grow. It's effort, yes, but we have to grow. Are babies always happy? No. When they're trying to walk, trying to learn how to crawl or walk, and they can't do it, they fall and they cry and they get frustrated. Do they stop and quit and go sit in the car seat, drag themselves over the car seat and sit there and pout and say, I'm never, ever going to walk? No. They stop crying eventually. They get up and they try again. And eventually, they're playing on the soccer team. And they're running. Now controlling a ball using all kinds of motor skills and eye-foot, eye-hand coordination. All kinds of stuff. Never would have happened if they had quit trying to walk. So if a baby can do that, why can't we, as Christians, have that same perseverance, that same commitment to grow in God and get over our childish things and put them away, get rid of envy and strife and division and all the things that are from the spiritually immature and grow beyond that? It's important. We have to do that. We have to eventually become mature spiritually.